this from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, the story of the Father. And he said, this is Jesus talking, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave in to him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But when his father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as soon as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and eternal word. Don't you just love that? Would you give Jesus a hand clap for that? Amen. I don't know how many times I've preached on this particular passage of scripture, but I never get tired of it. I never get wore out with it. When I open it up, and sometimes the Bible will just fall open to it, and I look down and see it, and I'm happy all over again when I see it. Jesus has been preaching, and as he preached, there were crowds gathered, and around him gathered the tax collectors, that's commonly called a publican, around him gathered the publicans and the sinners and people that people didn't think were worth their salt. They found out that the Lord Jesus was interested, and as he preached, they crowded in. Well, when they crowded in, then the scribes, the Pharisees and the priest, in their opinion, higher up religious people, they were jealous of him. They looked down on him. They talked bad about Jesus because he had fellowship with sinners. They said ugly things to him, and behind his back, by the way, about it. And as you read it and study it and recognize the situation that's going on, Jesus knows what they're saying. He knows what they're thinking. He knows their opposition to these people coming in. They were like a lot of religious people today. Sometimes we want to clean the fish and then catch them. And we only want to catch the ones that's been cleaned. It don't work that way, folks. We catch the fish and then we start working on the cleaning. You can't clean a man up out here in the world from the world and make anything out of him because he needs the Lord. He needs the Spirit of God in his life. I've seen that through the years so often that actually sometimes we've put a stumbling block in people's feet coming to the Lord because we hit them with so many rules and regulations and religious things. If they haven't been changed, it don't do anything for them. And Dr. Rawlings, John Rawlings, I used to know, he always said, well, you can go down to the hog pen, get the hog out of the pen, give him a bath, tie a ribbon around his neck, and put some perfume on him, and you can say he's a sheep. But said the first chance he gets, he's going to get in a mud hole because he's still a hog. And my friend, men must be changed. Well, in the stories of Jesus, the scribes, the Pharisees, and all those people were coming against Jesus because he was a friend to the sinner people of the world end. Thanks be unto God. And as he did that, Jesus turned to them and began to tell them parables. And first he told them a parable about a man who had 100 sheep. And they were all together, and one of them strayed away. He wasn't a bad sheep. He just wasn't a careful sheep. He didn't do anything horrible. He just got his eyes off of the flock, got his eyes off of the shepherd. And as he wandered along, nibbling a little grass here and a little grass there, it looked like him to him like that the pasture was greener on the other side. And so the little sheep wandered off by himself out on the hills and byways and became lost. Now, I tell you something about a sheep, folks. He don't have much way to defend himself. Number one, he can't run fast like a deer or a horse. He can't bite like a dog or a cat or a lion or something. He can't even howl. A dog can howl, a cat can meow. A sheep can't do any of that. They only have a little bleat. And the only hope that a sheep has when he's lost and out on the hills and away from it is to reunite with the flock and to get the sight of the shepherd in sight to take care of it. That's the only hope a sheep has, is to be with the shepherd in the flock. If he's not, he'll be lost. The other story was about a woman who had coins. She had 10 and she lost one of them. Now that don't seem like a big deal to you. I don't know what a penny's worth. It's not worth a penny. A nickel's not worth much. A dime's not worth much. Quarter's not worth much. And whenever have you seen a 50-cent piece? I remember when we had silver dollars in the cash register and 50-cent pieces regular. Well, it's worthless to us. But in that day and time, women had sort of like a charm bracelet. They had gold coins that were attached to a chain. And they didn't wear them necessarily around their wrist, but you'll see pictures of them across their forehead. And they were given to them at the time of marriage, and they were worth a lot of money. Those were gold coins. And there weren't many money things in the world in that time. So she is distressed because one of her gold coins has dropped off of her headdress and they can't find it. She calls her neighbors and her friends. She opens the doors and windows. She lights every lamp in the house and she begins to sweep. And she sweeps and she sweeps and she sweeps till she finds the coin. And when they do, they cut loose to praising God and thanking him for restoring it. That's what happened to the sheep, by the way, too. I think I stopped a little short in that story, because when the sheep was lost and out on the hills, the shepherd left. You know, there's an old hymn, the 90 and 9. You know, it's inaccurate, because the old hymn, the 90 and 9, says that it talks about him going out. But I tell you what he did. He left the whole flock by themselves to go save one soul, one sheep out on the field, one coin dropped in a crack through the floor or something was lost, and they swept the whole house, lit up everything to find it. I remember we used to have an old truck. Uncle Ted did it was a big old moving van, really, but it was one of those that's like a box truck attached to the cab and had benches in the back, and that's how we got to church when we didn't walk. We climbed up in that truck, and I remember going to the wilderness up in Bland County and up Big Stony Creek in that truck, and how wonderful it was to be able to do that. But Uncle Hyman wasn't saved, and when Uncle Ted couldn't come to the meetings, Uncle Hyman would drive us. I'll never forget one night, conviction got to moving in the church, and Hyman was out in the truck by himself. And I remember one of the ladies in the church got under a burden. It was Toy's daughter, Darlene. And she got under a burden, and down there, it's just a young girl, maybe 18 years old or something. She come running down the aisle, and of course I have to peek out to see what's going on. And out the door she went and climbed up on that truck, begging for his soul. Some of you probably will remember being over in Green Valley in the tent preaching. We were preaching, and a man ran from us, or he ran from God out across the field. And I remember, Lucia, your daddy jumped off, laid his dobro down, and jumped off the end of the pulpit and run across the field, begging him to come back to and repent of his sins. And that night I went down and stood in the moonlight in the dark out in the yard and talked to him about his soul and about coming to the Lord. One soul, my friend, is important to God. And let me tell you something else. One soul is as important to God as any other soul. And one soul, God don't care whether you're white or black or yellow or whatever. God don't care whether you're high and mighty in the world or whether you're down dragging in the ditch. God sent his son to die for your sins on Calvary's cross. And my friend, he'll save you. He'll save you. You say, how do you know he will? Because he said, if any man will come to me, I will in no wise cast him out. So you have to think how wonderful God is. And then he told this last story. He told a story about the lost sheep, and he told a story about the lost coin. Now he tells a story about the lost son. This is the most important story that he tells. It was important to find the sheep. It was important to find the coin. But my friend, it's a disaster when your son is lost. It's a disaster when your son is lost. And this boy was a scoundrel. He's a scoundrel. That's all I can say for him. Ungrateful, disobedient. Everything that he shouldn't be, he was. Now, you can listen to the commentators and read and all talking about this parable. And people talk about how wonderful it was about the shepherd going to the sheep and how wonderful it was looking for the coin. That's true. And then they look at it and they want to write a great big book on the son. And almost any Bible you look in, when it has a heading there, you know what it says? The prodigal son. Like he's the most important in this person in the story. Let me tell you something. The hero of this story is not the prodigal son. The prodigal son is a scoundrel. He's forgot to be grateful to his father for all he's done. He rebelled against his father's teachings. He grabbed greedily all that he could get and took it away from the father and left. And when he got out there, and we find out some things courtesy of the elder brother, he wasted Say that word with me. Wasted. How many lives are wasted? How many opportunities are wasted? How many people have wasted their talents and their voices and all that they have? You know, I see Jimmy Swagger sit down and put his hands on the keyboard and how wonderful it sounds. And then I hear his cousin, Jerry Lee Lewis, sit down at the same piano and put his hands down and play Great Balls of Fire or something else, you know, and be very profane. What wasted talent there is in the world. I see people in the world who are entertainers and whatnot. They have the talent. They have the gift. But they waste it. Waste it. But not just people like that, folks, but people like us. Day in and day out, going to work and coming home, trying to raise your family and not serving God. And you get to the end of the road and you have to face the Maker. You find out you've wasted how much talent, how much time, how much effort has been wasted in this world. And yet this old boy, he went out and did everything. And you know what? His elder brother didn't care. He didn't care about this boy. He resented him. He had reason to resent him, to tell you the truth. He had wasted all that the Father had given him. All the gifts that he had given were wasted. All the things that they had done had been wasted. And he resented it. He resented even him being nice to him when he came home. He didn't want to tell him welcome home. He didn't want to say anything nice to him. He was against him altogether. What a sad situation that was. And you got the father out there. He's so happy to see that boy. He's dancing and singing and praising God. And my son was lost, now he's found, was dead, and now he's alive. And he's down there. He shouldn't have had to take it away, the time from when the boy came home for this. But he had to take time out from the celebration to go down to the elder brother and entreat him, beg him to come and to rejoice with his brother that had come home. That's sad. But let me tell you something. That old scoundrel of a boy that went out in the world and wasted everything he had, and that old elder brother who was so jealous of him, neither one of them are the heroes of this story. You know who the hero is? The father. The father. I don't know how long this boy was gone. I don't know how long it took him to waste everything away. I don't know how many harlots he's with. We wouldn't know about the harlots except the older brother had threw it at him. Wasted it on harlots and riotous living. We wouldn't know that except he tells us. But let me tell you something, folks. All of that was going on in the father's pleading, not only with the son, but for the son. Aren't you glad? God will plead for you. He'll plead your case. The Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the throne in heaven today and makes intercession for you. Isn't that marvelous? The Father is entreating for this boy. Now, the boy's been gone. We don't know how long. But he wasted everything. And he wound up in the hog pen. He wound up feeding the swine, and the only thing he could find to eat was what the pigs ate. And it wasn't even good red dog chop. It was just husk from the corn or whatever they had that they'd thrown out. And there we are. What a mess he's made of his life. He's wasted everything. And no one will help him. Oh, if you could just see that. Sinner man, sinner woman, when you got your pocket full of money, they'll be your friend. They'll be your friend. I took care of an estate for an old boy. He's dead and gone now. And I begged him. I stood in the middle of the street and begged him not to waste his inheritance, not to waste what he had, not to waste his opportunity. And, he gave me a bad sign and said ugly words to me. And I told him, I said, the day will come that you can't buy a cup of coffee. He had friends. I remember when his friends all piled in a car. He paid for every one of them to go to Martinsville to the races Paid for everybody to have a bottle of Jack Daniels. Prayed for a girlfriend to have new tires on her car. He paid out till he paid out till he wasted everything he had. And one morning I saw him at the filling station across the street, and he did not have 10 cents to buy a cup of coffee. Where was all them friends then? Where was all those people he bought the Jack Daniels from then, for then? Where was the girlfriend that he bought the tires for then? Where was all those people there? No, his money ran out, and that was the end of the friends. And that's what it says here. Said nobody would give him anything. Oh, they liked him as long as he had the Father's money with him. But when they found out that he was broke, they didn't care. They were done with him. My friend, you say, well, his elder brother don't like him. None of the people he knows like him. Everybody's deserted him. Everybody but one person, my friend. Let's say it, the Father. The Father. He was a long way off from the house, and somebody had been sitting on the front porch every day. Somebody had been standing at the window looking down the road. Oh, you couldn't see him. He wasn't close enough even to tell what he looked like. But some way or another, there staggered a little figure out of the trees and the bushes and started up the road to the house. And the Father was sitting there watching for just this day. What day is he going to come back? What day is he ever going to come back? Will I ever see that boy again? And as the Father sat on the porch and looked down the road, he looked way down yonder and saw him coming. That Father still knew who he was. My friend, he didn't say, is that my son? Who is that fella coming out of there? Oh no, my friend, it wasn't any doubt at all. The Father could look down that road and see that old boy coming out of the bushes, covered in pig dew and covered in mud, stinking and filthy as he was. And the Father jumped off the front porch and ran down the road. And he wasn't like the religious crowd. He didn't say, God, do you expect me to hug a thing like that? You're covered with pig dew and mud and all that stuff, and you expect me to hug you and love you and carry on you? Yeah, good enough for you. You had it coming to you. You left here and wasted everything you had and did away with it while we just... No wonder that you're in such a shape. No, my friend, that's not the reaction of the Father. The Father looked down the road and saw him coming and said, that's my boy. That's my boy. It's my boy. It's my son. And he ran and he hugged him and he began to holler, start the music. My son has come home. He said, let's give him a bath. Stopped at the horse trough, throwed him in the water and scrubbed him all over and cleaned him up. And he said, bring the best robe I've got in the house and put on him. And they did. And put shoes on his feet. And the old boy said, but Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. No, my friend, he wasn't worthy. He was exactly right. He said, I'm not worthy. And he was exactly right. He was not worthy. He was not fit to go in that house. He was not decent to be among decent people. But my friend, the Father never said a one of those things. He reached down his hand for him down that road and pulled that boy to his breast and hugged him to his heart, washed him white and cleaned him up and put a new robe on him, put shoes on his feet. And anybody that's against jewelry, you can just argue with Jesus about this all you want to. But he said he put a ring on his finger. That was a signet ring. That was like his signature. Those rings had a place in it to put in the wax to seal a document with. He gave him back. He gave him back his place at the table. He gave him back. You see, the slaves did not wear shoes. But if you had shoes, you were a son. The slaves got the leftover clothes, but the son got the best robe. The slaves had to eat whatever was left over. But my friend, the son got the very best that he had. And they killed a fatted calf for him. And they began to make merry and to begin to dance. And you say, how come? Because it was the love of the Father. Let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Praise God. My friend, he did it just for you. He did it just for me. If there hadn't been anybody else in the world but this old sinner here, he'd have died for me anyway. My friend, I thank God today when Jesus looked down from heaven down the road, he didn't look down New River and say, look at that eyesore called Clendenin down there. Why, ain't nobody even goes to that Presbyterian church anymore that's in there. Look at them, they're all down there making liquor and carrying on. And if God had said that, my friend, we might all be in hell today. But you know, he didn't say that. You know what God did? God spoke to Lila Cass, the nerve of Cass's heart, and Minnie Parcell. And they got in a car and drove to Pembroke. And there was a little woman over there having church in a house and trusting God. And they asked her if she'd come down here and have a revival. And my friend, she came down here and they ran out of gas and it was Depression time, 1932. She walked with her husband and two little children. Another daughter had died earlier that year from the spina meningitis. And she walked back to Pembroke. 2 or 3 days, Henry Rice told me the story. Said I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. I had heard the story, but I was glad for somebody that was there to tell the story to me. And he did. God could have said, them people ain't worth saving. We wasn't. He could have said, them people ain't doing nothing but making liquor and living up in the woods. There ain't nothing coming to them. They ain't mounting to nothing. No, he didn't. My friend, he said, go. And they went. How many times I've seen the people come weeping to the altar. Stain of sin great on their life. Hearts black with sin. And the hand of God would reach down and draw them up. My friend, don't tell me that's just a drug head. Don't tell me that's just a whore. Don't tell me that's just a bootlegger or something. Don't tell me that. God knows all about it. God knows everything about it, my friend. He knows every sin I ever committed. He knows everything I've ever done. And in spite of that, my friend, he reached down his hand and he saved me. Can we sing that? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I don't know why I weep, but I do. Heavenly Father, I weep for the souls up and down these roads and hills. Lord, we don't have bootleggers up here with stills in the woods like we used to. But God, our folks is riding up down these roads with that stupid dope. It's eating them up. They need to be saved. God's souls need to be saved. They need to be brought in here. Lord, I ask you to send them. If there's anybody here this morning that needs salvation, would you touch that heart? And Lord, as this goes out over the airways and places, Father, where people are listening otherwise, would you touch their hearts? And God, would you be with us today? And Lord, I'm looking forward to the day I can see the nail-scarred hands that hung for me. Lord, bless this congregation. Bless this message. Touch us with the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you